Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome, fellow Earth explorers of the unknown, to a new episode of Hidden Mysteries, where we bring you each month out of our endless vault evocative topics to heighten your spiritual connections to the source. I'm Mimi. This is June 7th, 2018, coming to you from the New York area. My co-host Maria D'Andrea is absent again this month, so it'll be just you and I for this evening. In case you would like to get in touch with Reverend Maria, you may do so at 631-559-1248. That's 631-559-1248 to schedule your personal session with her. Maria is an internationally known psychic from Budapest, Hungary, a European shaman, and a published author, as well as a spiritual life coach and a public speaker on spiritual, psychic, and paranormal topics. You can also go to Maria's website at mariadeandrea.com or use the links below our show's description here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm a writer, videographer, and avid researcher on the paranormal and the spiritual, and have produced segments on these topics for over 15 years. Check out mquestmedia.com for other programs like this one, and drop me an email on suggestions for topics for upcoming shows. For the past few weeks, we've been focusing on ways of creating abundance in our own lives, and we spoke about using affirmations and the I Am statement to help us strengthen our intentions and our connection to the creative force. As we ask the universe, source, or whatever label we choose to use for the creative force, for that unending Christmas list of wants and desires, trust is without a doubt an important factor that goes hand in hand with this process. It's an integral part of the experience. It probably seems like a humdrum topic to talk about, but it's an important one that we need to gain more of an understanding. Trust is not something we learn overnight, even though that aspect of us has always been a part of our true nature as spirit. But when we disconnect from our spiritual roots, we also make a trust a stranger, something that we forget about over time. And since we have to relearn it in the wake of our earthly amnesia, it's not something that we just learn to do overnight or comes as a revelation one day delivered by trumpets. Just like every other aspect of our human existence, trust is presented as a work in progress. I know that when it comes to trust, we're all pretty much on the same side of the page. How do we trust when we can't put it down to a simple act or process that allows us to create the desired outcome systematically over and over again? Or as easily as opening up a jar of applesauce, at least you hope it's easy to open when you're not dealing with those vacuum-packed lids. After all, we're all really from Missouri. We need to be shown. I've personally struggled with this on and off for years, even though I've seen many positive events come to fruition. Yet, like everybody, when I don't see something immediately conjured into my physical space, that good old trust factor energy starts to dwindle and dissipate until you're left with nothing but disappointment and the feeling that you just may not be good enough to have whatever it was you wanted in the first place. This is better known as our trusty ego, that shadowy figure that lurks just somewhere off to the outer reaches of our mind. We can't see it, but its effect on us is certainly obvious. I've often thought that patience also plays a great role in this whole trust issue, because the longer it takes for something to manifest, the more our ego has time to step in and sabotage that loyalty we had built up some time before. And then when we have patience, we're allowing the universe to do its job without interference. Our understanding of the law of attraction, at least explained in the movie The Secret, is quite incomplete. Many aspects of the inner workings of this world were left out, no doubt because they felt no one was up for the task, and I'm sure for conspiracy reasons we won't go into right now. First, there's a bit of delay factor in this world, where the timing may not be right for that moment we want it. So it may not be an instantaneous act as we see it. What we think as the perfect time may not align with the greater scheme. The timing is not up to us. It doesn't belong to us. It's up to the bigger picture, how it all intertwines in the lives of each of the players and their needs, their desires, and how it affects their building up of experience. Also, as Abraham Hicks has taught for many years, the strength of our intentions or its vibration needs to be at a higher frequency level. Of course, when all else fails, we fall back we fall back on ourselves to think positively, which according to Deepak Chopra causes great stress on us, which can hamper the outcome further. We then search out for the ultimate process or ritual that will assure us that it will finally work, something that we think will make it quick and easy because we're used to things happening that way. But all we're looking for really is a guaranteed proof statement and an easy button. Some may resort to praying to God, where we might plead, cajole, curse, make promises to gain favor, believing we have to give up something to get what we want. I remember one friend who had been an avid churchgoer who believed that in order to have a better relationship with her daughter, that she needed to sacrifice something in her life. So one day in the bitter winter, she walked a long way home in the blistering cold snow just to pay for this award. But why do we believe that the God force works this way, that we need to make a sacrifice like one's own health in this case to be granted a favor? Do we feel that that's small and that unimportant in the scheme of things, that we can't possibly believe it's our right to seek an incredibly loving relationship with one's offspring? We buy into the ego every time. We listen attentively as it tells us we don't deserve, and as such, must grovel for it. And are we forgetting that very important aspect of humanhood called free will, that thing in life that allows each of us the freedom to choose and decide for ourselves what we wish to experience on our own life path? And unless that choice aligns with the other person, it may not happen anyway. Throughout my years of spiritual lessons, this trust and creation aspect of myself still tends to waver, probably because of those childhood years where disappointment was the mainstay. We all have something, and this is my personal Achilles heel. There are moments where my ego creeps in and sets up shop to null and void all of my spiritual work. So I cornered my spiritual teacher recently to ask about trust and its place in creating personal abundance. And here's what he said. Patience, young grasshopper. Actually, he didn't really say that. That was from a show from the 70s with David Carradine. I just couldn't resist. I just had to say it. What he did say, however, was, we don't really believe what we're doing and are looking for a proof statement to tell us this is right. What you're doing in terms of affirmations, meditation, and so on, all these things are the right thing. Not believing is what becomes the fly in the ointment. You just need to learn how to trust. You're telling the universe conflicting things. Changing a mind is okay. Giving conflicting demands, however, makes the universe wish for a lobotomy. So how do we gain trust, I asked him. You give up and recognize that alone you are powerless and you can't control everything around you. You give up fear of what you want not happening and learn how to trust because ultimately it's the only way. Do what you've been doing and know it will come to you in one form or another. Then kill the ego that demands that you get what you want right now or it's all bullshit. In other words, do it and believe because you want to. It takes a very deep inner conviction to know that you can achieve goals you set because you realize that the creation of your goals is in partnership with the universe. Everything on earth is about sales. You have to sell yourself that you can have it. This helps you talk yourself into believing. When you act like a millionaire, for instance, but you have only $3, that discrepancy is apparent and your ego will really let you know it. But when you deeply desire something and you have an internal focus and you work towards that goal, it happens. Your partner, the universe, needs absolute explicit instructions on what you want. The timing then becomes your worst enemy. So how do you strengthen your conviction, I asked, very impatiently. A conviction is a set of beliefs, hopes, facts, understandings that are personal to you but may also be part of a group. A group can be a spiritual group, for instance, with the same set of convictions, or it can be just your own set of convictions. Within a group, the common convictions feed, sustain, and reinforce your personal internal beliefs. If that conviction is soft, it's not a conviction. It's an idea or a hope, but it is not a conviction. To be convinced, you need to sell yourself that what you believe is a truth for you, and you go forward reinforced by your conviction. As I continued to ponder this, I said, So to bring these strong convictions into place in order to give the universe the right cues, that's where the connection can lag behind. It's very hard to always keep yourself in the right frame of mind in order to get the right creations you want in life. What if you have a bad day? Is this going to hurt it? Sometimes being in a negative mood can change the vibration and prohibit it from manifesting. When you are negative, that is a time when your conversation, your internal dialogue with the universe becomes your safe space to tell yourself the truth of yourself. Give the universe direct messages or the universe will do nothing because you're unclear. If there's no clarity, there's no result, because this means you don't know what you want and what you're working for. If you change your mind, explain that you recognize a change is wanted. Tell the universe of the change, and as you change, you will come upon the thing you want to accomplish, and the universe will be flexible as you change and desire different aspects of your original desire. Talk to the universe by just talking to the universe in your voice, in your colloquial language, and freely and without fear. So basically, this is talk therapy. So we're basically having an intimate conversation where we're exploring the reasons and our objectives for our desire, just like when we talk to a friend. Of course, we're not always going to have a clear image of what we want to bring into our lives. What then? That is also a question you can bring up to the universe. Just remember that we tend to get in the way of what we want to manifest by trying to take charge and be in control. When you speak and pray to the universe, we must stay out of the way and let it happen. The reason for the chaos is the timing. We're not in charge of the timing. Okay, so to sum it all up, from what my spiritual teacher has stated, give a clear picture as to what you want in your life. Communicate with the universe when a change has been made. And talk to the universe as if you're talking to a friend. Talk in your own tone. Talk the way you would speak with any friend of yours. Just tell it exactly what's going on and what you think might be the reason for some of the changes. Perhaps you're not clear at the moment and you just need more clarification. You just need to let the universe know in different phases where you are and how you're feeling, what might be the changes along the way. Keep doing what it takes to strengthen your convictions, since it tends to waver from time to time because of the ego. And most of all, leave the timing to the universe. Like he said, we are not in charge of the timing. We have to let it go. We have to stand aside and just let the universe work for us. I know, believe me, from personal experience, that is one of the hardest things to do. You know, as humans, we don't make it easy for ourselves. But what we can do is look for ways to further our connection to spirit. After all, that's what we're here to do anyway. Also, one other thing which people don't seem to get, and if that might have been one of the things also the secret didn't say, I don't remember, but it wouldn't surprise me. It still doesn't mean, even when you're asking the universe for help, it still doesn't mean that you shouldn't be doing something in the physical realm in your life to move forward and to help create that desire to come into manifestation, because the physical energy is also an energy. It's an energy force, and it also shows the universe your true intent and conviction. And it will meet you halfway by doing so. I think I recall in the Bible it said, not only did it say, ask and you shall receive, but I think it said something to the extent that it meets you halfway, I believe. There's something in the Bible, and I just don't recall at the moment. And just to add, you know, this is an aside, just to add to your arsenal for manifesting, because we already talked about the I am statements, the affirmations, the meditations, guided meditations. I came across a video this morning. It's really odd that every time I'm about to do the show, I seem to come across some important or pertinent information that is going to be discussed on the show. And Justin Perry from You Are Creators had sent this interesting video. It was about a man by the name of Neville Goddard, who lived from 1905 to 1972, who was known as a prophet and a profoundly influential teacher and author. And he lectured extensively on using the power of our imagination. I thought this was interesting because I remember Dr. Wayne Dyer also speaking about imagination and how that it's a real energy. It's part of your thought energy. And he lectured extensively, as I was saying, on using the power of our imagination. He said, once that man is moving into a world where everything is subject to his imaginal power. The process that he taught was very simple. Each evening, as you fall asleep, imagine your desire. Work it into a scenario using all of your senses. If you are looking for a mate, for instance, imagine yourself wearing a wedding ring and interacting with him or her in your life. Feel it in all its senses. Perhaps you want to come into, you know, financial abundance. See how you would act in that type of a life. You know, what would transpire? Get a almost like you're going into a dream state, because at that point you're usually dissolving into that phase of that part of your sleeping state where you're starting to go into a dream state, and it's one of the best periods of your sleep state where you can start to mold your desires and your intents. And creating that imagery of what your life would be like and then slipping into that dream state can help you not only seal more energy to create it, but it helps for you to also get assistance when you are on, you know, on a higher level of consciousness, because your guides, your assistants will be able to work with you, and you will more than likely have a better retention in remembering this information as you wake up. And by all means, as soon as you wake up, make sure you have a pen and paper near you, on the table next to you, to write down any information that you might have received. Because as soon as you start to wake up, you start to lose a lot of the information. So, excuse me, that's why you should always write it down as soon as possible, as soon as you wake up, because within, you know, it could take like a few seconds, it'll start to dissolve. Unless, of course, it's a very powerful dream that really makes you remember it even hours afterwards. I've had certain ones like that myself that I still remember to this day. One of the other things he said that one of the important things about it is that feeling it, you have to feel it in all its senses. And Goddard believed no idea can be impressed on the subconscious until it is felt. But once felt, be it good, bad, or indifferent, it must be expressed. It is the one and only medium through which ideas are conveyed to the subconscious. Goddard believed that subconscious impressions determine the conditions of your world. The subconscious is not selective. It is impersonal and no respecter of persons. The subconscious is not concerned with the truth or falsity of your feeling. It always accepts as true that which you feel to be true. So here's the key. Whatever the mind of man can conceive and feel as true, the subconscious can and must objectify. Your feelings create the pattern from which your world is fashioned, and a change of feeling is a change of pattern. Many people have said the same since, and I think Dr. Wayne Dyer has also mentioned in his books. So there you have it. That's the key. We have to feel it. We have to feel it intensely. And that is something that the subconscious is going to walk away with to create and manifest what you wish into your life. And just to leave you with a quote from Dr. Wayne Dyer on the subject of trust, the universe is orchestrating everything and everyone we need to align with to fulfill our heart's desire. The resistance comes in when we question the timing, the how, or the outcome. When you trust in the process, you will experience miracles that go beyond what your mind could ever begin to imagine. So, thank you all for joining me this evening on Hidden Mysteries, and I hope you walk away with some information that can help you also get through items that you wish to manifest in your own lives to make it better. And there, everybody deserves to create a better life for themselves. Nobody deserves to be in lack. Nobody deserves to live in sadness and depression. Nobody deserves to feel lonely or feel unloved. Create your desired reality. Don't create the desired reality in which you're creating through your negative emotions, but create what you wish to have. Forget what you're seeing in your life right now, or in your, or the people that you see in, you know, going to work, or the people you see on the bus, or what the government is doing. Recreate your life right now with all the positive energy that you can muster, and put it, all the sensations to it. Feel it, see it. If you can smell it, that might be good too. Everything, every sense that you have when you're manifesting, put all those feelings into it. So be sure to mark us as your favorite so that you can continue to receive notifications of upcoming shows, and visit us on facebook.com/mquestmedia. And there you can send either comments or suggestions for upcoming shows. And let us know what questions you may have had on today's topic that we may not have covered, or perhaps stories of your own experiences. I'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with Reverend Maria again at mariadeandrea.com, or call her at 631-559-1248. Again, that number is 631-559-1248. And on the Blog Talk site right now, you'll be able to see all those links and phone numbers so that you can, you know, you won't forget it. So have a nice night, and thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Hidden Mysteries.